Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench. Outdoor America is brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Now, here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
It's been cold out there in the Ozarks here lately, and we've had temperatures in the negatives and, negative 20 wind chills, and it's been blistering and cold, but it's starting to make a trend to the upward. You know, it's starting to warm up a little bit. It's just kind of throttling cold and not so super cold, but still cold. But anyway, it's river's been froze over, the lakes are froze over, so it's a little hard to get some fishing done. But you know, there's still fish out there. They still got a bite somehow, some way. If you can get out there, maybe you got to do a little ice fishing. I don't know. You know, that's what I've been joking around about. Maybe getting out on the ice and doing some of that. I would not recommend that, though. It is not safe, and I'm just joking in every way. I'm just joking about getting out on the ice. I do not recommend that. Repeat, do not go out on the ice. But these fish got to start acting right soon, and like I said, so hopefully we can get to them. But I've got some really big news I was wanting to talk about and super excited about. We got Scott from the Bass Tank coming on real soon, and we're going to talk about all the exciting things going on with that. And, you know, also we're going to be at the Bassmaster Classic. When I say we, Kayla and I are going to be at the Bassmaster Classic March 22nd and 23rd, 24th, I believe, somewhere in that vicinity. I'll have to check the numbers exactly, but super pumped about being there, going to be at the Bass Tank booth, hanging out with Scott and the crew, and trying to help people with the great deals from the Bass Tank, getting us some live scope and some trolling motors and just all the good electronics the Bass Tank has to offer. So it's going to be pretty fun. Get to experience the Bassmaster Classic for the first time, and super pumped about that. It's a big deal. It's literally the Super Bowl of bass fishing. So it's going to be a pretty amazing event. Get to experience that in person, not on TV like normal. But it's and then also, like I talked about last week, we got a big show coming up in Kansas City, March 8th, 9th, and 10th, I believe. I had the dates. I'm pretty sure it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll be doing I got live seminars going, and we got a booth set up. You can come check out our new line of dino snacks and and dino food and you know, dinosaur hunting. You know, if you ever hear me talking about catching dinosaurs, this is the baits I use to catch them all with. We got a new line of products coming out, and we're going to premiere them right there at that show. So it should be fun, and I'm going to have a good time with the seminars and getting a meet and greet and Q&A and all that good stuff. But it's been, you know, everyone gets cabin fever from sitting inside, not being able to fish a whole lot in the wintertime on a normal level. But in my instance, I'm normally out there every day. So it's a little tough for me to go this long without being able to go out there and catch some fish. And in this instance, I can't. I mean, it got so stinking cold. The rivers are froze over, and that don't happen very often. I know I've heard people ask me in the past, "You ever seen the river freeze over?" Well, here's that time I can say it's there right now. The rivers are froze over right now. And when I say froze over, they're not completely froze solid over. You know, you still got the main channel, but then it'll freeze solid over some of the medis. And then you can kind of see where it starts, where there's more water flow, and then it'll thaw back out right there where that flow is, just because the water's moving so much more. And then if the water wasn't so low right now, if we had had normal flow, I don't think it would have froze at all. It would have been enough flow moving through the river channel to where it would have never froze in the center all the way across. But it's just low and slow, and so it's freezing. You know, it's been cold. You know, here we are, mid to late January, and usually I'm excited about wintertime, and I love catching these winter fish, and I usually kill it, you know, in the wintertime. Last year was a phenomenal year for wintertime fishing, and this year not so much. It's been terrible. It's been terrible fishing, and the times that I have been out there, and then here recently I haven't been able to get out there at all. So really looking forward, for the first time in many years, I'm really looking forward to just spring coming around the corner and getting back out there and being able to catch some of those pre-spawners and some of them spawners and post-spawn fish, because that's a lot of fun too. That's a lot of fun, and that's when most people are really looking forward to getting out there and get back to fishing. You know, it's warming up. The fish are starting to act right again. You know, they're not locked up in their winter haunts. You know, they can go out there and catch them on a good old classic buzz bait or about anything, you know. And, you know, you just can't catch them on top water in the wintertime. I can catch them on jigs and crankbaits, jerkbaits, things like that, believe it or not. But a lot of guys don't realize, you know, that them fish will still chase even when it's 40, 42 degrees. It's just when it gets down to like 32 degrees, that's when it's that's when they shut down, and that's kind of where we're at now. You know, of course, when the river freezes over, that's tough. That's tough to deal with. But like I said, we're going to have Scott from the Bass Tank on here, and he's going to be talking about a lot of stuff, all the new stuff going on with the Bass Tank and new technology and the new LVS 34 transducers and some new products that have come out, and something super exciting to talk about that I'm excited to talk about and to have him tell you about is the Bass Tank Academy. And what the Bass Tank Academy is, you know, I'll let him explain it even better, but it's basically a training. It's training to teach you how to operate your electronics. That is the biggest, I think it's the biggest setback that us as anglers have, is we have the technology right in front of us, but we just don't know how to use it. We don't know how to utilize it the right way. Well, that's what Scott and his crew do at the Bass Tank, is they're going to teach you exactly how to use it and utilize it to get the maximum capabilities out of your electronics. As well as teach you, you know, what batteries to have, what wire, how to, you know, what wiring to have, and all the good stuff that goes along with making sure your electronics are performing at peak performance. And that's important, because a lot of folks are like, oh, I can do it myself. And they'll go out there and just buy them a unit. I'll get me a live scope. I can hook it up myself. Me and my buddies, we could figure this out. And it can't be that hard. Well, and then they find out, I see on a forum, what's going on? I got live scope, but I can't see my jig. Everyone else can see the little crappie jig. I can't see my jig, or I can only see this far out. Or why does these fish look like, you know, they have so many issues with it, and it's all lack of knowledge. And I wouldn't say experience. It's all lack of knowledge. You know, I don't know. I don't know everything. That's where the professionals come in at the Bass Tank, is going to teach you how to run your electronics. Like I said, I know I'm jumping back and forth between a couple different subjects here, but we're super excited about our bait shop coming out, as well as our new line of products that's going to go along the dinosaur hunting theme. You know, we started that dinosaur hunting last year, and we got a patch now that any client that catches a 20 inch plus smallmouth on a trip with me, they'll get that patch. It'll be, I think we're going to decide, instead of just giving them a patch, I think we're just going to have the patch put on a hat and have those hats made, and that's what they'll get, which will be a pretty prestigious deal. It's a pretty cool deal that we started, and I'm excited to be able to hand them out to some clients, because it don't happen real often, but it does happen. I'd say over half a dozen times a year, there's a 20-incher caught out of the boat. I would say more. I could say 10 or 12 times a year, and that's probably actually accurate. That is accurate, because the wintertime, once we get to the wintertime fishing and all those fish are locked in their winter holes, I usually see at least half a dozen or so 20-inch plus caught in the wintertime. So, yeah, I can see half of them come through the spring, from spring to winter, and then the other half probably come in the wintertime. So with that being said, if you want a chance at a big old dinosaur, you need to get out here as soon as this water thaws out. Get a hold of me, get a trip booked. We can get out there and catch you one of these giant dinosaurs. It'll be a lot of fun. And you'll get a hat. You'll get a patch with the old dinosaur hunter patch right on there. So be pretty cool, pretty neat. Get a hold of me again. We're going to be at a show March 8th, 9th, and 10th. So come check that out if you want to check out these new products we have and the patches. And I'll also have my biggest smallmouth replica there. So if you've never seen a really big river smallmouth, here's your chance. Here's your chance to check out the wood carving that I had made by the ever so talented Daryl Armstrong out of Kentucky, friend of mine that carved this out of wood. He's a very, very talented individual, and I'm very blessed to have this carving that he done of my personal best smallmouth ever. So you'll have to come check that out. Come say hi to Kayla and I, and we'll, like I said, I'll be doing seminars. Any questions you have, pick my brain. You want to ask me about certain colors of lures or tactics or where they spawn, where they winter, you know, their movement, all that good stuff. You know, I'm constantly trying to learn how they're doing, where they're moving to and from, what fish go in which direction. I want to learn. I want to know all that. And I work with the Missouri Department of Conservation as well, try to work with the fisheries biologist to help me better understand these fish movements and where they're going, what they're doing. And I feel between the two of us, with my experience and my extensive time on the water and their knowledge and research that they've done, I figure between the two of us, we can really, really nail this down and figure out what these fish are doing and why they're doing it. It's always understanding, you know, so many times I think that people will catch a fish and they're not even understanding, that was just a fluke. They're not understanding, though, there's a reason why that fish ate that particular lure the way it did. You know, I was reeling in this jig, giving up on the cast, and the fish came up and ate it. Well, I don't think it was just a fluke. I'm not saying it could be, but more than likely, there's a reason. They want that bait moving. They're looking for something moving at the time, and that's probably something you need to pay more attention to. But hey, folks, we got to take a real quick break, but we'll be right back with more right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You're listening to Outdoor America, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. More with Tommy Bench after this. Listening to Outdoor America, here's more with Tommy Bench.
It's been so cold that not only the lakes are froze over, but the rivers, you know, the current flowing rivers are froze over. It's tough, you know, but you know what? Here's the one thing I'd recommend for you to do. If you're like me and you love fishing all year long, 12 months out of the year, 365 days a year, and you can't. Right now you can't, because you just can't get out on the water. There's no open water. It's froze over. Here's a perfect time to go through all your tackle, reorganize, re-spool. If you're like me, some folks may only have one or two rods, you know, and reels that they use. But I've got a bunch. I've probably got about 20, and I've got 6 to 10 that are specifically mine that I use on a regular basis, depending on what kind of fishing I'm doing. And you're probably like, what in the world? Here's another thing I want to talk about. And it's along the same topic of why do you have so many rods and reels? I'm going to explain that to you. I'm going to explain it to you because I know growing up people were like, why do you need two different rods or three different rods and reels? Why don't you just use the same one and just tie that lure on that rod or that line? Well, here's the difference. Or here's the reason why. I have a rod specific for every application. I've got a specific rod for cranking. I got a specific rod for finesse jigs. I got a specific rod for spinnerbait. I got a specific rod for an A-rig, and so on and so forth, right? Everything is specific because I'm not going to be able to throw my A-rig on my crappie rod. And I know that's a huge extreme difference between one and the other, but what I'm saying is even my buzzbait rod, my topwater rod, is not going to work very well for my A-rig rod, and vice versa. I'll give you a good scenario, or a very good scenario right now. Kayla and I, last summer, back in June, we went on an exploratory trip way up the river that we had never been before. Or, well, I say we'd never been there before. I had been there before. She'd never been there before. I wanted to explore for new potential arrowhead spots and fish at the same time. You know, we got the fishing possibilities, new scenery, and possibly arrowhead spots that I never knew existed. So we're out there. And I don't know if I had broke a rod or if I just didn't have enough with me because I was trying to minimize what I had. But I thought, you know, surely this cranking rod will work for a finesse jig rod. It's just a little 5/16 finesse jig. I don't see why it wouldn't work. So I tied a jig on and I pitched it in there and thunk, felt the bite, set the hook, and it was solid for a second and then just come loose. It was just like I could not get a good penetration on the hook set. And this wasn't just once or twice. This happened like 5 or 6 times, and Kayla seen it. She witnessed the whole thing, and I said, I'm glad you've seen that. You see what I mean by how not every rod is going to work for every application? Like, I couldn't, but I immediately switched over to my jig rod, to my finesse jig rod, specifically designed Falcon Carriage finesse jig. Tied that same jig on, same spot, around the same group of fish, pitched it in there, got a bite, set the hook. Got him, you know, he's on, got him in the boat. And she was like, wow, that right there showed me, you know, that it truly does matter what rod you have, you know. And there are some applications, I will admit, there are some applications with some rods that you can get away with using the same rod for different things. For example, I use the same rod, my cranking rod, my carrot cranker, I'll also use as a jerkbait rod, or vice versa. My jerkbait rod I'll use as a cranking rod sometimes. But I'm talking like small crankbaits. I'm not talking about like DD-22s. I'm talking, you know, like maybe at the heaviest, a rock crawler. But 99% of the time, I just want to use the right rod for the right application, the right line, the right reel, and so on. So I'm going to go through a few of the things that I like to use and what I choose. And we're going to do almost a sponsor, a guide service sponsor highlight of the companies that I prefer, because everyone's always asking, well, what kind of rods do you use? What kind of line do you use? What kind of reels do you use? And what's your favorite lures? And what's your crank? So on and so forth, right? Well, let's just go through that. Let's start with the rods. I use all Falcon rods. Obviously, they're a sponsor of mine, but I chose them. I approached them several years ago, and I'm very blessed to be able to have a great working relationship and partnership with them, with their company and mine. And so I use all Falcon rods, and that's what I use for all the guide service. I prefer the Kara series. I also really love the Expert series, but the Lowrider series is a really good, probably the best bang for your buck. If you want to get a whole line of Falcon rods, but you don't want to spend that $200-$250 a rod like the Karas and the Experts are, go to the Lowrider series. You're talking half the price. You're getting them for like $129, and they're amazing, amazing rods. That would be my recommendation. If you got the money and you just want to go and get that higher end, super light, feels like you're holding nothing in your hand other than whenever you feel the bite, you feel everything on a Kara. They're so light. They're so sensitive. The Karas and Experts are amazing, amazing rods. But like I said, them low riders are pretty dang good themselves. But go ahead and get the Karas if you got the money, or if you just want to, you know, like I did, maybe just get one or two a year and go from there. But that's what I use. I love the Falcon series. They got the Karas on down to Experts, low riders, even the Bukus, and they got the Buku Seniors. And those are kind of the entry-level rods that I would suggest if you're just wanting to get in for a – if you're on a budget, you know, maybe go with the Bukus. And then, you know, like I said, but I would say the best bang for your buck as far as sensitivity, quality, the quality across the board. But I mean, you know, of course, it just keeps getting higher quality components with the higher-end stuff. You know, you got better guides with the Kara series, and the blanks are so stinking light. It feels like you're holding nothing. It's amazing, but – there's the rods. Let's move on to the reels. The reels I use are the Lose BB1s or Lose Tournament Pros. Those are the two series that I really prefer. I've been using those reels for many, many years. I'd say at least 10 years. And I've been with Lose for probably about 5 or 6 years now. Maybe seven years. But, you know, again, very fortunate. I chose them. I love their stuff. You know what? Does Daiwa make a good product? Heck yeah, they do. Amazing product. Does Shimano and Abu Garcia? I'm sure they do. But you know what? I've used them all, and my favorite, hands down, is the Lose. The Lose brand, the Lose Tournament Pros are our staple. The BB1s are absolutely amazing. You can cast forever with them things. But here's the one thing I'm going to say about the Lose brand that I can't say for any other brand that I've ever used. They're almost indestructible, and they're like maintenance free. I'm not recommending you do what I've done, but I've literally got reels that I've had for over 5-6 years, and they've never, and I say never, capital N-E-V-E-R, never ever been maintenance. I've never put oil in them. I've never had them sent off, to had them gone through, to have them cleaned. Again, I do not recommend that. I recommend you probably just have them cleaned once a year, because that's the right thing to do, and that's going to keep them in tip-top shape. But here's where I'm bragging on them. They're almost maintenance-free. I've had these reels, never done any maintenance, and these things never skip a beat. They've never skipped a beat. I've literally dropped them, knocked them over the side of the boat, and had to go back and snag them back up and get them out of the water. I've had a rod and reel in the water for over an hour before, and all I did was just shake the water out of it and just keep on using it. It just keeps on going. It's like an old Timex. You know, it takes a lick and it keeps on ticking. And that seems to be what these Lose do. They just, it don't matter if they get rained on, snowed on, the sun beaten. I mean, whatever it is, they just keep going. They get stepped on by clients, and my daughter gets around that stuff. Of course, I don't let her get around the hooks, so we don't have to worry about that. But so those are the rod and reel setups. And when we come back, I'll tell you more about like my lure preference, colors. We'll dive into all the particulars. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with more right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Boatworks, performance specialists. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
I'm going through my tackle box, folks. You're going to get to hear an in-depth of what I love. You know, we just on the last segment, I went through my rods and my reels, my Falcon rods, my Lose reels. Now we're going to dip into the tackle box and talk a little bit about my favorite lures, because everyone's always asked me at seminars and shows, or I was like, so what's your go-to bait? And you know, if I had to choose one go-to bait that I could have all year long, and that's why I'm calling my go-to, because I'm going to say something that if it's going to be your go-to, it's got to be your go-to at any time of the year, right? I'm going to say it's going to be a jig, a finesse jig. Give me a 5/16 to 3/8 ounce finesse jig. You know, a finesse. When I say finesse jig, I'm talking about the skirt. You know, very small, compact. I don't like the big mop jig style skirt. Very small, compact. I like my trailers to be small and compact as well. That's what I'd go with. But it's so hard to answer that question of what I like to throw, because there's trips. There's literally trips from day to day that change. You know, we'll say on Tuesday, April 9th, I'm hammering them on a Strike King KVD 1.5. I love throwing that square bill 1.5. Chartreuse, blackback, brown and orange. Those are my two favorite colors. The brown and orange has been a staple. That color has been a staple in the river systems forever and ever and ever, and probably always will be. It's just the color patterns we have for these crawfish, and that's what you need to understand in order to be, in order to have more success on the water. Understand what the fish are looking for, and then take, like I said earlier, don't just take something that happens to you and think, oh well, that was just a fluke deal, that won't happen again. I was just reeling it in, he come and ate it. That was just a fluke deal, and laugh it off. Now, there's a reason why they're doing that. That's why they have swim jigs. Okay, so I'm fishing a jig slow on the bottom, and I reel it up, giving up on the cast, and the fish comes up and eats it. Well, that's where a swim jig comes in. You can work that swim jig around some structure and swim it through the water, and they'll come eat it that way. But getting back to the tackle. Okay, so getting back to dipping in our tackle box. Here's what I have. I love Strike King. So all my crankbaits are pretty much Strike King for the most part. I do throw the Spro rock crawlers, cold water situations, and a wiggle wart. I love the old wiggle warts, but I'll tell you what I do, to be honest with you, and I've talked about this other times. I have some custom painted wiggle warts by my friend Brian Heron. He does amazing work. He's a super, super talented individual. Custom painted these wiggle warts for me several years ago, 6 to 8 years ago, and I'm just doing my very best not to lose them. I think I've lost one or two of them, but that's pretty good overall considering. You know, I've only lost a couple in 7 or 8 years. So I smashed the smallies on them wiggle warts early spring. But anyway, we're going to get back and talk about what I throw, and not just crankbaits, but I love spinner baits. So get you some Strike King spinner baits. They've got every line you can think of, colors you can think of, different blade combos. That's what I love to use. Traditionally around here, not a sponsor, but War Eagle makes an amazing spinner bait. So if you want to get a good spinner bait that works really well, the durability is not there. They will fall apart. I will say that, and I'm not trying to knock them because I've got a ton. I've fished a ton of them, caught a ton of fish on them, and everyone around here swears on the War Eagles, but they do fall apart. The wire is so light. Just like anything else, it can only take so many bends back and forth, and eventually it just breaks. And that's essentially what happens. So I like the Strike King ones. They got the durability factor going for them. They got the great colors and the action. And matter of fact, the Strike King, the KVD spinner bait, caught the Big Bass Bash, the winning fish of the Big Bass Bash at Lake of the Ozarks last spring. So that's saying something in itself right there. If, you know, so you catch the biggest bass of a $100,000 tournament, that's a pretty good deal. But so there we got a couple different baits right there. And then a lot of guys like, so you don't use soft plastics? Yeah, I use soft plastics, but I'll tell you my style of fishing. I'm a power fisherman. I fish hard and I fish fast. And even when I'm jig fishing, years ago, I'd flip a jig out there, pitch a jig out there, maybe even all the way across the river and just kind of let it drag along the bottom. I may fish that thing for a minute, which is a long time when you're fishing a lure. Think about it. Next time you cast a crankbait or a spinnerbait or a buzzbait or a whopper plopper or whatever it is, see how many seconds it takes to from the time that it hits the water, from the time it gets back in the boat. It's probably about 10 or 15 seconds. It's not very long. So a minute or two is a long time to be working the bait. I just don't do that anymore. I've learned that the high percentage areas is what I want to concentrate on. I'm going to pitch that jig in there, and as it's falling, I'm looking for that bite. I'm looking for that line to jump. And then as it gets down, I'll pop it a couple times off the bottom, then maybe work it slowly on the bottom for about 10 or 15 seconds. So essentially I got about half the time as I used to have. I maybe got 30 seconds total. And that's on a long cast. That's on something that I'm really trying to cover a lot. But most of the time it's about 10 seconds or less. I'll pitch it in there looking for the bite on the fall, get that reaction bite. So a lot of the bites that I'm looking for are reaction bites. A crankbait bite, it's a reaction bite. A topwater bite, that's a reaction bite. Pitching a jig around a root wad and getting a bite on the fall, that's a reaction bite. I'm looking for reaction bites. I think that getting a reaction bite is going to be far more effective than try to make a fish eat something that it's not necessarily wanting to eat. And if it's a really big fish, then that's a different story. That's when LiveScope comes in. And then we're going to talk more about that for sure next week. I'm going to, you know, we're going to go in depth with Scott at the Bass Tank and talk about, you know, what you can do with this LiveScope. Here's something to think about, folks. Everyone has this mindset that you can't effectively use LiveScope in a shallow river system. And that's not true. You can. And I'm going to show the world, I'm going to show everyone how effective LiveScope can be in shallow water and being able to pinpoint these big old fish, these smallies that are in these shallow river systems that nobody else has been able to figure out. And I can't really say nobody else. Nobody else that I'm aware of. Nobody that I know of is publicly coming out saying, man, we're just smashing these on LiveScope in these rivers, you know, in 6 foot of water, 5'4", 2 foot of water, you know. It's, and I'm not saying that you're going to be able to do it in 2 foot of water. You should be able to see the fish in 2 foot of water, but that's what we're going to go through. And I want to talk about that more in depth next week. So you don't want to miss that show next week. If you're really, really wanting to learn more about live scoping and electronics in general, we're going to have the mad scientist himself, Scott Palmer from the Bass Tank. He's going to be on next week's, as well as we're going to be at the Bassmaster Classic. I think I've already mentioned that. So if you're going to be at the Classic down there on Grand Lake, I will be there. Kayla and I will both be there at the Bass Tank booth. Come check us out. Come check out the Bass Tank and all their products. Come pick my brain. Talk to me about smallmouth fishing. Go see Scott at the Bass Tank and find out the best setup you can get for your boat. He'll tell you. He'll point you in the right direction. And he'll show you exactly what to do. And the pros of the Bass Tank will get you rigged up and set up with the best setup that you could possibly have for your situation. So come check us out. I can't wait to be there hanging out with the crew at the Bass Tank and maybe just browsing around and visiting other folks as well. But super excited about being there, being able to talk with people and meet and greet and maybe tell some stories. That's kind of the fun in it, right? And who knows, maybe we're going to. I was about to say, who knows, we'll see the Bassmaster Classic champion. That's inevitable. Who knows who's going to win it? Could it be Jason Christie, maybe? I don't know. He's kind of a hometown favorite. He's won it before. We'll just have to see. But that's another thing going to go on. Like I said, we're gonna have Scott next week, but we're gonna get right back in to dip it in our tackle box. We come right back. I'm Tommy Bench, and this is Outdoor America.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. Here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
We're going to go take a dip right in the old tackle box. And, you know, the old tackle box isn't your traditional tackle box like you're used to hearing about in the times of old when you just got one tackle box that's got everything all in one. I wish it was still that simple. And maybe it's because I don't make it that simple, because I probably could on any given day just kind of throw the stuff that I want to use for that particular day in the tackle box. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how things change from one day to the next. And I was getting into that, and I kind of got distracted, or I reverted over to something, a different topic. Still talking about tackle, but didn't really give you a good explanation of what I was getting at. One day I'm on the water, and I'm hammering them on a square bill on a 1.5, right? The next day, it may be a jig bite. It may be a spinnerbait bite. It may be a buzzbait bite. I've seen it happen more times than you can imagine that I thought, man, I tell my clients, hey, we're going to hammer them on a square bill today. I've been slaying them. Yesterday, we caught like almost 40 fish, several in that 18 or in that 16, 18 inch range, and two or three that was 18 to 20. You know, that's a phenomenal day for smallmouth on the river. We get out there, we're throwing a square bill, nothing. Like, what in the world is going on here? Well, is it's not always on what they were doing the day before that matters. You know, what's different today? Was there a little bit of a cold front last night? Is it a little bit cloudier today than it was yesterday? Or is it sunny today? Yesterday was overcast. I mean, you got to consider them sort of things. The colors change, the way they're feeding change, the time of day matters. We caught all them fish yesterday afternoon, but here we're starting off at 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not wanting this crankbait. So you got to really understand how these fish act sometimes and why they're doing what they're doing. And so if that crankbait isn't biting right away, you can't just say, well, they just wasn't biting today. You know how many times I've heard that in my life where people say they just wasn't biting today. We couldn't catch them. They just wasn't biting. And then think to yourself, well, did you eat anything today? Or are you going to eat anything today? More than likely, you're going to, or you already have eaten something, right? Well, and them fish, they're no different. They ate too. Well, you just got to figure out what they want and where they're at, because they move around and they've got certain habits and tendencies that they stick to. But all in all, I can catch fish, or my clients, we've caught fish 10 different ways in one day. And one day we've caught fish, and I told my buddy Justin this several years ago, and it wasn't 10, it was 7. I said, hey, I'll bet you whatever, just not like it's any kind of money. I said, let's see if I can catch a fish on 7 different lures. He's like, there's no way. I'm like, I'm going to try to. And so I got a buzzbait. I got a jig. I got a crankbait. I got a little Texas rig worm. And I got, you know, 7 different lures out. 7 different, completely different tactics. And I caught a fish on every one of them. And I was very prideful on doing that. Because, like I tell people so often, what is your favorite lure to throw? What is your favorite bait? I'm not a Ned rig guy, but there's a lot of smallmouth anglers that love throwing a Ned rig because it just flat out catches fish. I like to target big fish myself. I'm a quality over quantity anytime. Not everyone is. Sometimes these guys just want to catch fish, or that's their confidence bait. Man, I really love throwing a Texas rig. I love throwing a brush hog. Man, if I can throw a crankbait, that's the way I want to catch them. Okay, well then throw a crankbait. Not always is it going to work out that way, but I believe you can catch fish 100 different ways. Do what you're confident in, because if you're fishing with confidence, you're going to catch them. And if you're not, then at least you still got that confidence to where you're fishing with confidence, meaning you're effectively trying to catch fish. Otherwise, if I'm like, hey, just throw this thing right here, I'm telling you it works, and you think it's stupid, you're going to be throwing it thinking, well, I should be catching fish, but I'm not. This is dumb. But you know what I mean? But if you're throwing something you know you've caught fish on before, your confidence level's so high that you're fishing it with excitement and knowing that the chances are just right around the corner. You know, it's just about ready to happen. Any second, you're going to get a bite or catch a fish. That's why I try to influence people. Fish what you're confident in. If there's something you love throwing, I think you can catch fish here with it, that's what I want you to throw. Throw that. And if your buddy's over here kicking your butt with a fluke or with a crankbait or with a jig or whatever it is, that's up to you if you want to switch or not. But at least now you're seeing. That's another reason why a lot of times I'll fish in the back of the boat. If I got clients that just do not want to fish a certain way, like, man, I really don't want to fish that way. Or I don't like throwing a fluke. You know, it's just too much work, too much effort into throwing that fluke, and the fishing is not that good. I'll throw that fluke in behind them and catch a fish. And they're like, what'd you catch on that fluke? Oh, man. Hey, you want a fluke? No, maybe if you catch one or two more. So then I'll throw it again. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, give me a fluke. I'm going to throw the fluke. Then, you know, sometimes that's what it is. But I just gave them the confidence they needed to fish this thing, because now they know that it works. They've seen it work with their own eyes. They didn't catch it. They didn't catch it themselves, but they've seen me catch it. And that's all it takes, you know, give you that confidence level. But I have so many lures that I use. You know, I literally have, we're getting talking about dipping in the old tackle box. I've probably got at least 30 different tackle boxes. You're probably thinking, 30 tackle boxes? What in the world do you need 30 tackle boxes for? Well, I've got a tackle problem, folks. I'll admit that. You know, so if I have a crankbait I like, I've got multiple colors and probably 10 to 15 each of those colors, because I don't want to run out. As a guide, I've seen it. I've seen it happen to where we're on a good bite. They love that square bill, that 1.5. Gets it hung up, and we just can't get it unsnagged because it's down to some roots, and we try and try and try, can't get it, end up breaking it off, or makes a bad cast, goes flying up in a tree, and it's tangled all up, it's so high you can't reach it, lose another one. Then one of the guys that don't fish a whole lot tries to tie his own knot and throws it, and it goes flying into the woods. Oh, there's three. You lost three in one day now. That's why I have so many lures. That's why I have an abundance of them, because I need them every single day. And I need to have that arsenal because some days, like I was getting to, it is a crankbait. Some days it's a spinnerbait. Some days it's a jig bite. Some days it's the Ned Rig's tearing it up. I don't throw the Ned Rig, but my clients do, and my kids do. And I'm trying to teach them just to throw jigs more than anything. You know, we loved going to Merrimack and throwing a Ned Rig out there to catch some goggle-eye or down to Niangua and catching some goggle-eye or some trout. It's fun. It's a lot of fun to do. And so that's one thing I use it for, but that's about it. When it comes to smallmouth, I'm dinosaur hunting, old son. I'm out there trying to catch the biggest one I can find. So if I can throw a big buzzbait, a big jig, when I say a big jig, it's not a big jig, it's a small jig, but it's a big bait to them. You know, it's just a small, compact, hearty meal. It's perfect. But that's what I want to tell. I want to go through. So here's my choices. I love throwing a topwater. That's my number one option that I'll go to when the water's above 50 degrees. So I'm going to go out there with the Chopo 90, or in this case, I've got the Dinosaur Hunter himself, my buzzbait. He is the original Dinosaur Hunter. He's a tandem buzzbait that I make, white, chartreuse, black, you name the color. It's just the action and the sound of it that really gets him. Number three, let's see. I love throwing a square bill. I love the Strike King 1.5. Spinner baits. I love throwing spinner baits. I'm not a big soft plastic guy because it just takes too long to fish them. You know, like I said, even my jig fishing, it's just pitching in there, getting a reaction strike on the fall. That's about it. Other than that, I don't really slow down on the river unless I absolutely have to. In the winter time, when it's really, really cold and they're super lethargic, that's about the only time I'll really, really slow down. So that's about it. But we're not done. I want to go through more in depth on some of the stuff I use and when to use them. That's one of the most important parts, is when to use them. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. More with Tommy Bench after this. This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Summit Finance Group. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
We're still dipping in the old tackle box, and I want to really go through and give you a good in-depth explanation of what I have in my tackle box and why I use it, when, where, why, how, all that good stuff. So one thing I did not bring up as of yet that I recall is jerkbaits. I love throwing a jerkbait. And the reason why I haven't brought it up is because it's more of a cold water situation. It's more of a below 60, I would say between 40 and 60 degrees, more so between 40 and 50. That would be, I think, when it shines the brightest. So whenever you're out there and you got some cold water fishing going on, you find you a nice winter hole or spring, keep in mind, if you're looking for some good fishing and the water's cold, you know where a significant spring is, it's coming into the river, or it's already in the river, that spring water is going to be warmer. So go check that out. There should be a good population of fish there. Jerk baits, that's like I said, I love throwing a jerk bait. I would say, other than the jig, the only reason why I said the jig would be my go-to is because I can use it all year round. But I would say my number one bait overall, get ready for it, a pearl white fluke. So I love throwing a baitfish imitation. So, you know, years ago they come out with the Sluggo, and now Zoom has a fluke, and of course Strike King has theirs, you know, and that's what I love throwing. I love throwing just a pearl white, shadowless, just basically. They got so many different things on the Strike King spectrum as far as their baitfish goes. But that's essentially it. Everyone knows what a fluke is, and that's the reason why I'm referring to it as that, is because that's essentially all it is. I fish it slow. I can fish it fast. Sometimes I'll hit it on the top. Sometimes I have to be deeper with it. But all in all, that thing just flat out catches them for me. And I get to work it in a faster manner, if that's even the right grammar there. But I get to work it as fast as I want sometimes, and not have to slow completely down. But anyway, that's the thing. That's it right there. So you didn't hear me talk a lot about like a Texas rig or a Carolina rig or anything like that, because that's just really slow fishing. I do like throwing a shaky head once in a while. Still not my thing, but some guys, that's what they love to do, and it's effective, and it catches fish. Like I said, I'm not taking away from anything I didn't mention, because I still believe that there's over 100 ways, but almost anything you can think of, you can catch fish with. It's just being at the right place. I think putting yourself in position and presentation. That's the most important part is catching these fish. And that's why I try to explain this, that when I'm out there catching these fish, I'm not just blindly casting a lure and just trying to cover water everywhere I can see water. I'm specifically targeting certain parts of the water column. So I'm looking at these tail end and head and tail end of shoals, right? Or these eddies. You go to the head end, as soon as you come out of a shoal and it drops off, that's the head of the pool. That's probably my number one target zone. I love the heads of pools. As soon as the water comes out of that shoal, I love that part. Right at the tail end, right before it funnels back down, that is also one of the key areas. Anything in the middle is almost just a bonus. That's fish usually that I'm catching coming or going. And a lot of times, believe it or not, especially in the summertime, I see these fish cruising up and down these holes because I think they may live at the head of the pool, but there's too much competition up there. So these particular fish feed down at the tail end of the pool and vice versa. So I catch a lot of these fish just roaming up and down these holes, but I'm seeing them with my Costa sunglasses, and that makes a really big difference. I've had clients out there that I'm pointing these fish out, and they're like, where's this fish? I can't see it. Where? I'm like, right there. Look, it's right there. They're right in front of them. And they're like, I can't see it. I'm pointing right at him, but they can't see the fish because they don't have these polarized Costa sunglasses. I'm just going to tell you, it does make a difference. If you can see, those lenses are specifically designed to penetrate the water and be able to see down in that water column. I can see, it's like a whole new world. You could take the lens, take your glasses, lift them up to where you're just looking with your eyes, and then drop the lens down. You're looking at the exact same spot, but you're dropping the lenses over. You're looking through the lenses now rather than nothing. And it's like, you just put 50 fish in the water all of a sudden with the lenses. It's amazing. Go to a trout park or go somewhere where you can't see them at the bottom, but maybe just vaguely, and use them glasses. And then look at the difference. I'm telling you, it's amazing what them Costa sunglasses will do for your vision, especially when they're spawning in the springtime. They're shallow. You know, they're shallow, and you need to be able to see them in order to know how to set up on them. Number one thing that I will say is, other than that is the presentation. It doesn't matter the color, if you're throwing a Ned rig or any of that good stuff. It's mainly just being able to put it in the right place. So head of the pools, tail end of the pools, those are key areas. The shoals themselves are always key areas, but I truly believe that those bigger dominant fish are not there very long just because they can eat at will. So you don't have to worry about them being there for very long. You can catch them there, but the chances of you being there the exact same time they're there feeding is very slim. So try to fish in them deeper pools and deeper eddies to target those bigger fish, and I think you'll have more success. Let's get on to a little bit of wintertime fishing. We haven't touched on that. We've just been talking about river smallmouth fishing. Right now, if you want to get out there and catch some crappie, right now is the best way to do it. Right now is the easiest way to do it. Everyone's like, what? In the middle of the winter? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. Get out there. And I know a lot of folks are like, well, man, I can't afford a live scope system. Well, they're not as expensive as you think. I know they're still expensive, but I mean, what do they say about a boat? Throw another $1,000, right? It just costs money to do the things you love, but you just pick and choose what you want to do. And this is what a lot of people love to do, is they love to fish. Right now, these fish are in open water. They're around docks, Lake of the Ozarks in particular. This live scope has completely changed the whole game of crappie fishing. We've been catching fish the last several years with live scope out in the middle of the lake that nobody would ever even think about throwing. And there was no way you'd have any idea they were there without live scope, because your sonar may pick them up, but most people weren't even looking out in the middle of the lake. But now people are just scanning around with live scope. Like, oh, wow, look at all those crappie. They're just 6 foot below the surface. Throw your jig right on top of them. Your jig's falling. You can literally watch a crappie come up and eat it. There's one. Oh, there's another. I've literally been with my buddy Melvin or Ken, and we've got our limit within 2 hours. We had a limit, each of us, a big, healthy, big crappie. You're talking 10.5 to 12-inch crappie throwing 9 inches back. So it's changed the game, folks. And if you want to get in on a good system, get a hold of the Bass Tank. Like I said, they've got promos going on right now, selling the LVS 32, I believe it is, but they've got the 9-inch screen, and you can, just to get you started, it's fairly cheap. Just get a hold of them, find out what the best situation is for their boat and where they're fishing. They're the pros, they're the experts, they're the ones that can tell you what would be best, how to set it up, and which system to go with. Get a hold of them, and speaking of them, we'll have Scott, the owner of the Bass Tank, on next week. And if you have any questions, get a hold of me, folks. Get a hold of me, find out if there's any questions you want me to ask me in particular. But until then, I hope to see you out there on the water, if it's not froze over, in the woods, and catch us a fish, maybe find us some deer sheds. Until next week, we'll see you on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You've been listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Bass Tank, whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it, and by Summit Finance Group. Join us each Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for Outdoor America with Tommy Bench on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Catch up on Outdoor America programs. Listen on demand at 610sports.com weekend programming channel. For Tommy Bench, this is Mark Miller. Thanks for listening to Outdoor America, and have a great weekend.